it that way, whatever you think of.
That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Good morning. Man, I pray everybody is doing well. Look around. Give somebody a wave and a smile, a good, warm, fresh smile that says, hey, the sun's shining. God has given us another day, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord. If you are watching as part of our online audience, we welcome you as well. And as always, we have our I call him our online minister, Dr. John Cazito. You have a voice here at Central Baptist. You're part of our congregation as well. Be sure to tell Dr. John good morning or hello. Let him know you're there. Don't make him come looking for you, as the old boy says. But again, today is a special day in the life of our church as we take the time to recognize as what we call it a hero's recognition. We want to make sure that we honor those who serve our communities in the area of police as well as fire. And we are so glad that we have this opportunity to be able to take and be able to do that for each of these men and women of law enforcement. I always said, you know, law enforcement, firefighters, and military people, you are welcome here in an incredible way because we love you, we appreciate what you do, and the way that you protect and serve us and the way that we are taken care of and the freedoms that we enjoy. So we are so grateful to have these opportunities today. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful again that we can come together and meet in your house. Lord, today I pray that you will help us to consider our biblical worldview. Lord, to consider those that you have called. Father, you have called us all to be your children. Lord, if we have accepted you, you have called us all to be ministers. Lord, you haven't called us all to be pastors from a pulpit, but Lord, you have truly called us all to be your witnesses, regardless of what we do. So, Father, today as we take these moments to honor our police and our fire, we pray, Lord, that your word is what creates their biblical worldview as they go forward, and Lord, that they practice it each and every day of their lives. We thank you for them. Lord, we ask that you would that your spirit would move during this time, and Lord, in all that we say and all that we do, may we honor and glorify you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Please stand as we sing hymn number 644.
Thank you.
so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life.
What kind of love?
What kind of love?
What kind of love?
What love is this? That the God who made the universe would become someone like
enjoy these moments that we take to pause in the middle of everything that's taking place and going on to recognize folks that oftentimes you find functioning in the background. Some of the things that you may learn about some of our folks that you will see today, you may not have known before. So I do want to go ahead and mention this as well. We are glad to have Oak Ridge Fire. You guys are A-shift, right? A-shift. They're with us. So now there's a caveat to that. If they get up and leave, I want you all to know it's not because they don't like my preaching or what I'm saying. It's because they are your active duty watch for right now for Oak Ridge Station 15. So if they get up and go, that's because they're needed. So we just want you to know that. But we're so glad to have them with us. That's not the recognition, guys. That comes later. So just hang in there with us. But as always, I always called it one of my favorite my favorite orators as we recognize our heroes today. So what I'm going to do Paul Harvey. How many of y'all remember Paul Harvey? Some of them young people are going, who in the world is Paul Harvey? How many of y'all love Paul Harvey? When I was 5 years old, I used to listen to Paul Harvey because I loved the way that he told the story. So without further ado, first of all, we're going to recognize two different sets of folks. We're going to recognize our law enforcement guys, then we're going to recognize our fire guys. But we're going to let Paul Harvey tell you a little bit about the story. Go ahead and roll that.
Expect to be sued. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course, he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. A policeman must know everything and not tell. He must know where all of the sin is and not partake.
I always liked how Paul Harvey told the story. So what I want to do is I want to take a moment to recognize this is information that we've either gleaned or was presented to us about these individuals that you are going to see today. So as I call your name, now I'm going to tell you, hold your applause because I've got a lot to say, okay? So I'm going to talk fast. You guys got to listen fast. Hold your applause. We'll recognize these guys once we get all of them called up here in place. But first of all, I'm going to ask Rick Bailiff if Rick would join us on the stage. Rick Bailiff is here today representing the Guilford County Sheriff's Department as a motor officer. If you see his bike out there, that is something that most motor officers are very proud of, and we love seeing them as well. Rick actually did, 30-some years with Greensboro PD? 32 years with Greensboro PD. As a reserve, reached the rank of lieutenant, I believe. Yeah, lieutenant. And then what happened was they did away with that program, but Rick, still being certified and qualified, changed over to the Sheriff's Department. So he does a lot. I'm going to call him a lead in the motor unit. That's what I'm going to call him. I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but I'm going to call him a lead in the motor unit for Guilford County. And matter of fact, he takes care of a lot of the bikes and a lot of the people that ride those bikes. So we're grateful to have Rick with us. Back during his yesteryears when he was in BLET, which is like your police academy, he was the BLET class president. What year was that, Rick? 1988. We're going to throw it back a few years. He was the class president there, okay? Next, we've got Blake Carter. Blake, if you would, join us up front on stage. Blake today represents the Department of Adult Corrections. Blake works with the ACE team, and what that stands for is the Apprehension Capture Enforcement Team. He was promoted from officer to SRG, gang specialist, in December of 2022, and was promoted to the ACE team in December of 2024. Again, that ACE team works to hunt down and apprehend fugitive probationers and parolees. Blake also serves on the extradition team to transport offenders to appropriate jurisdictions. He was recognized two times by the state for life-saving efforts performed on overdose subjects in the field. He was assigned to the disaster response efforts for Hurricane Helene in the mountains of western North Carolina in 2024. He is the ACE team drone pilot and one of only 140 ERT, and that stands for Emergency Response Team members in the state of North Carolina. And he is assigned the Guilford County Crime Stoppers Liaison for Department of Adult Corrections. Next, probably one of the most handsome officers that's up here that you're gonna see today. I represented in yesteryear the Lynchburg Police Department. That really is me. And that's, you can tell that's throwing it that's throwing it back a few years. I had achieved the rank of corporal, and in my time with Lynchburg PD, I worked vice narcotics patrol as well as a tactical unit just prior to my leaving Lynchburg PD and heading into ministry. Next, we have Donnie Gordon. Donnie, come on up and join us. A lot of y'all have seen Donnie around here. You might not have even known that he was part of our law enforcement crew around here. But Donnie is a master police officer, too, with the Kernersville Police Department. Donnie started his career with the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department back in 2005, and he came to the Kernersville PD in 2008. He is a state-certified crash reconstructionist. He's also certified in child safety seats. So if you ever have any, you want somebody to check out your child safety seat, Donnie can handle that. And if you ever really want to know what happened in your child's crash, Donnie could probably help you with that as well. They rebuild those things in crazy endeavor with that. But, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But back in 2010, Donnie was nominated for a life-saving award. What took place was in the middle of January. He went into a retention pond, swam out to the middle of that to get a drunk driver out of his car that was sinking in the pond. Donnie has spent the majority of his career working patrol. Okay, Fred Pinson, come on down, buddy. Come join us up here. Fred Pinson retired from the Greensboro Police Department. He was a police training officer. He was a pistol expert. He won 6 commendations and 2 life-saving awards in his time as a police officer. He spent 5 years on the underwater recovery team. Most of us know that as a dive team where they would recover bodies or any physical evidence that was related to a crime. So we're glad to have Fred with us. Appreciate all the work that he has done. Next, we have Monica Queen. Monica, come on up and join us. Monica's was with the Los Angeles Police Department. She was in the area of communications. Her position was the Senior Police Service Rep 1. She retired as an acting watch commander. She served the Valley Communications Division, the PM watch. She was supervising a staff of 90 to 100 personnel. In 30 years, she worked 7 of the 21 patrol divisions in L.A. She was 4 years as the executive assistant to the deputy chief, and she worked during the Northridge earthquakes, the Los Angeles riots, the O.J. Simpson trial, and the 1984 Summer Olympics. Monica retired in 2010 after 30 years and 5 months, and I like that. Some of y'all would say, why would somebody do the extra 5 months? That was making up for maternity leave, so I want to make sure we put that in there as well. Finally, and I'm not going to have him come up here because we need him where he is our very own Ernie Wall. Ernie is sitting back at the sound booth making sure not only us but all the other folks that are watching can hear what's taking place. But Ernie was with the Guilford County Public Safety from 1969 to 2002. He held the title of communications and a technical service manager. And essentially, he was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Positions that he held there was EMS. He was a first-class paramedic licensed by the state of North Carolina. Primary duties that Ernie had was to respond to mass trauma situations. Ernie also was with the Sheriff's Department for 14 years. He served as Guilford County Special Deputy, once again on call, 365 days a year, 24/7, to make up a 2-man unit. His duties included special patrol assignments, felony warrant services, and apprehension. He responded to any situation that required additional units. He prepared all the filings with the Federal Communications Commission to upgrade all the required licensing and communication systems. And he worked within communications, telecommunicator, and essentially what happened was he was part and responsible for the merger of the EMS, fire, and sheriff's department radio systems into one single cohesive communications division. Ernie also was responsible for preparing all of the requests for bids to purchase new communication systems and assisted with the installation of these particular situations in Guilford County. Ernie was responsible for having the first paramedic radio system that incorporated voice as well as EKG data transmission. He coordinated and installed the 911 emergency telephone system for Guilford County, and he initiated the county's state-of-the-art trunk radio system, allowing the cohesive system for all emergency response agencies to be able to communicate with each other along the way. So if you've ever called 911 and gotten communications, you can thank Ernie. If you've ever had stuff transmitted as far as EKGs, you can thank Ernie for that. So at any rate, how many of y'all learned something about some of these law enforcement guys that you did not know today? All right, good deal. Now you can sit back and be sure to thank them along the way. So with that, as always, there's something. It's just a small token of our appreciation for what they do. But I'll start down here and I'll work my way back. Fred, thank you so much for your service. By the way, Fred does continue to serve. If you ever go over to the hospital over at Drawbridge, you'll see Fred there keeping everybody safe along the way. Donnie, thank you, buddy, for all that you do. We're going to be praying for you guys and asking that support be continued along the way. Blake, thank you for all you do, buddy. Thank you for keeping us safe at the house. Rick, for all that you do, buddy Ray, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your service to us.
Thank you.
And Monica, you get a special one. You get yours in an envelope just because we love you and we appreciate it. Anybody who can hang in L.A. is something else. Now you can give all these guys a hand, thanking them for their service and for what they do. We really appreciate them to the maximum. Okay, guys, now I'm going to move on over to the fire side. Okay. As always, since they're taking their seats, I want to make sure that we also get the fire story from an orator who is far better than I am. So once again, to tell you the story on fire, it's Mr. Paul Harvey.
Fireman. Nobody knows why firemen are firemen. Not even they could tell you why. But it is time somebody try. Firefighting is the most risky of jobs. Fire and ice are uncomfortable separately or together. Wives hate the hours, kids love the noise, fire and ice. Any day at the firehouse, the bell puts the dispatcher on the horn with a tenement tinderbox address into bunker pants, rubber turnout coat, grab the mask and go. Minutes later, you're on site. As others run out, you go in. You'll need all you can carry. The 4-pound axe, a 6-foot hook, the Halligan pry bar. The ceiling has to come down, and it's one of those stubborn tin ones. In the scary dark, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing, and you've lost track of which way is out. Is it really worth it? They've cut your ladder company from 6 men to 5, so now everything you do is 16.67% more difficult and more dangerous. Your air is low. Inside your mask, you're throwing up. There's a searing ember down your neck, torn gloves exposed, a smashed hand, so you emerge from the Holocaust hugging with your elbows somebody's singed kitten. Back at the station house, you can almost breathe again. Next come the tedious hours as you gang up on grimy tools. The cleanup crew at the firehouse is you. When windows need washing and toilets need cleaning and floors need mopping and beds need making, you do it. Is it worth it? Your B crew pumper swapped his day shift so some family guy could be home for his kid's birthday, and then outbound toward a false alarm, your buddy gets blindsided by a hot rod driven by a drunk, fire and ice. The intercom barks again. This time it's a warehouse, a big, fat, multiple blaze. On-site engine men draped with icicles, dragging a 3/4 pre-connect froze hose, are waiting for your big line. Laddermen can't make the building without you. Search, rescue, ventilate. Eventually it's over and out. Your smoke smudged and sleepless and wrung out. But this one you won. But the raging blaze that wanted to consume adjacent buildings did not, because you were there. Back at the firehouse before cleanup, you and the guys sit a spell, tired but they laughing, feeling good about one another. Nobody outside your world can ever know this feeling. In any other uniform, you get streets named after you. In this one, you risk your life to save people until one day you run out of chances, and in one final fire, either you buy it or you don't. And yet there is no third way that you'd ever leave this job, and you're doubting even God knows why. When you hear his familiar voice saying, it is worth it, and you're hearing this voice, and there's nobody there but you, it's a quiet voice from nowhere saying, it is worth it, fireman.
Like I said, nobody says it quite like Paul Harvey, amen? He brings it home for those that have served in that area. Today, we remember you for your service. So once again, I want to call the guys that we have the information on up here, and then we're going to bring our active duty guys that are here with us from Oak Ridge up there. But first, I want to recognize Assistant Fire Chief Sam Anders. Sam, if you could come on down and join us on the stage. And Sam has been around with Oak Ridge Fire for quite a long time. He has the distinction of being the son of our very own Phyllis Anders. Proud mama back there. Phyllis, wave. There you go. Phyllis, go ahead and say it. That's my boy. That's my, she ain't gonna say it. She'll give me a thumbs up though. But we're so glad to have Sam with us. We've appreciated his leadership in Oak Ridge with Oak Ridge Fire Department for many years, and appreciate all that he does to keep our area safe along the way. He also has a son, and I don't know, is Wilson with us? He wasn't able to be with us today, but that doesn't mean that we don't have pictures of Wilson. I was getting ready to say, I probably should have introduced Sam as Wilson's dad, because I had a chance to watch Wilson grow up, and we are so proud of the young man that he has become. But Wilson works in fire support with the Oak Ridge Fire Department, and he is there every second and every step of the way. I'm sure he's right there with you all the time, Sam, as much as he can be as he continues on with school. So we're so proud of Wilson along the way. So today, representing Greensboro Fire Department, Captain Roger Brooks. Roger, if you would, join us up on the stage. I loved seeing a lot of these photographs that we have been sent along the way, some of the active duty times. There's Roger. Man, he looked like a movie star, doesn't he? He is ready. He still looks like a movie star. But Captain Roger Brooks, Roger actually had earned a life-saving award in his time with Greensboro Fire. And if you'll notice, he did a lot of years. It was 37 years with the Greensboro Fire Department. And he actually had some opportunity to train some of these guys along the way that you'll have an opportunity to see. I'll bring that up here shortly as well. The stuff that you see down here, the awards, the helmet and whatnot, those belong to Roger, and we're grateful for his service as a captain to the Greensboro Fire Department. Now, I want to mention that the next one I want to mention is it's Central Piedmont Fire Department. Some of you may not have heard this. This is actually a merger that we're just about to complete the first year of. This merger took place between Pleasant Garden Fire Department, which is in Guilford County, and then Climax Fire Department had two different stations, one in Randolph County and the other in Guilford County. So what they did was they did a merger. So we're about to complete the first year of the merger of Station 3, Pleasant Garden, Station 35, Climax, and Station 42 in Climax as well. And it comes under the new name of Central Piedmont Fire Department. So with that, Firefighter Blake Carter, if you would, join us on the stage. He wears a couple of different uniforms. Blake serves as an FEO, or a fire equipment operator, with Central Piedmont Fire, as well as support, and then also some of the other events and whatnot that they have along the way. Second, also with Central Piedmont Fire Department, that would be me, yours truly. I serve them as a chaplain, also with fire support, and I'm also an FEO, which is a fire equipment operator, specializing essentially in the operation and pumping of a tanker truck at this particular time. So y'all pray for me and anybody else I have to respond to, because you can't jump out and go, oh, well, what do I need to do now? So at any rate, that's where Blake and I are having an opportunity to continue to serve together. Next, representing Greensboro Fire is Gary Evans. Gary, come on down. Gary is one of those guys that actually, I believe, was trained under the tutelage of Captain Brooks. Is that correct? Check that out. Looking handsome up there, man. Check him out. Gary is an FEO. He was a fire equipment operator, and he was a legend behind the wheel, man. If it needed to get there, Gary would get it there when it came down to fire equipment. He was actually awarded the Safe Driver Award with the fire department. Gary also is trained in advanced level rescue. was trained as an EMT. He was trained in emergency response to terrorism. He's trained in high-level rescue team as well as the hazmat team. Gary was awarded Outstanding and Dedication Community Service Award, a life-saving award, and he was the two-time retired firefighter of the year. So we appreciate all that Gary has done in his way of service for the city of Greensboro. Next, Captain Danny Nelson. Danny, if you'll join us up here, I'd like to say a lot of you guys have seen this. It's funny because I'm having some chances to talk with Danny kind of behind the scenes. Danny rode the captain's seat, which meant that Gary was driving for him. And I think that's when Danny actually met Jesus, because he had to ride with Danny. Danny had to ride with Gary, so I believe that was your religious experience along the way. We love to pick at these guys, but we certainly do appreciate all that they do. Danny also received the Firefighter of the Year Award, and Danny has almost been retired for another career, hadn't you? I mean, he'd been retired 27 years, so we appreciate his service. So he was back there when everything wasn't digital, and he could look at those guys and say, "You young pups don't know how hard we had it back in that day." If you'll notice some of the pictures that you saw with Danny, and I love, was that your Volkswagen, or is that you just standing in front of?
Firefighter.
Okay. Okay, there you go. So I love looking at these photos and seeing what these guys have done. Next, representing Oak Ridge Fire Department, Captain Leonard Stafford. Leonard, if you'll make your way on up to the front with us. Leonard served not only as a captain in Oak Ridge Fire Department, but he has served as the Oak Ridge Fire Commissioner. He was the chairman of the Fireman's Relief Fund, and he was Fireman of the Year, and also received the Outstanding Service Beyond Duty Award with the Oak Ridge Fire Department. And we are so glad to be able to have these the men and women of the caliber that we have that move among us all the time. And they probably have stories to tell that you have never heard. And if you did, you'd probably be shocked. But we're so grateful and so appreciative of what they do. So as always, we just have a little something we want to present to them. And I'm getting them just a second. Appreciate you looking out for me. Sam, thank you so much, brother, for all that you do. You can stay up here, because we're gonna get our guys up here in just a second. All right, appreciate you, boss. Roger, don't care what they say about you. I love you, buddy. Gary, appreciate you, boss. I'll make sure I don't get that trick one. Danny, thank you, buddy. We really appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
Leonard, thank you so much for all that you've done for the fire department, for the town of Oak Ridge. Now, you guys can stay here if you want to, but I wanted to make sure we're going to call up the active duty guys. I didn't want them up here in case they had to run out, but I'm going to get you guys. Come on up here if you would. These are the guys representing the A shift of Oak Ridge Fire that are on duty right now as we speak. So again, if they have to run, you'll know what they're running for. And I'm going to put you on the spot, because I'm going to let you tell about who you are, what your positions are. You can hide a little bit if you want to, but anyway, squinch on in. Guys, move on around a little bit. We got to get all the fellas up here. This is your active duty A shift for Oak Ridge right now. I've got my handheld mic here, but just give us your name, your position. Like I say, this is out of Station 15, which is our department as we speak.
Captain Ryan Rice. I've been with Oak Ridge for a while now. 1996 was the first year I was with Oak Ridge, so I've been here for a while, held a lot of positions.
Good deal.
Lieutenant Dana Smith, I've been with Oak Ridge for 6 years. I've been in the fire service for 38 years.
Engineer Chris Goles, I've been with Oak Ridge for 5 years, total years 17.
FEO Austin Blackburn, been with Oak Ridge for 3 years, in the fire service for 10 years, 11, somewhere around in there.
Yeah.
Firefighter Christopher Sammons. I've been Oak Ridge firefighter for 3 years, fire service for 3 years.
Gotcha. I'm not letting Sam have a microphone because we already know Sam. Sam is the assistant chief there. Guys, I want to thank you so much. I've had a chance to see this guy actively in the middle of the night when alarms were going crazy out here, but they showed up ready for business. We certainly appreciate all they do. Guys, thank you so much for looking after us. Just a little something for you guys. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Don't let me get away without giving you something. Thank y'all for the way you take care of us, the way you do your job in a very professional way, and we're so appreciative of the opportunity for you guys to take a moment to be with us today. And as always, know that we got your backs, we got you in prayer, and anything that we can do as Central Baptist Church to help you guys, we're here for you. Guys, these are our firefighters. Would you give them a hand today? Thank you guys so much for being with us today. I know if you got to go, you're not going to hurt my feelings a bit, but at any rate, the rest of you guys stay here because we're going to keep you around, them retired guys. So at any rate, we're so grateful for all that they do. Yeah, y'all can greet each other. I am grateful for Station 15, Guilford County, which is our station right over here by the park. Oak Ridge also has two stations. They have Station 15, they have Station 51. Station 51 is out closer to the high school, and these guys kind of work between those two particular stations. So at any rate, we're grateful for the opportunity to be able to honor them today because they've been Johnny on the spot any time that we've needed them here, whether it was a medical emergency or whether they've been alarms. So we appreciate their professionalism. All these guys up here, the younger guys see further down the road because they stand on the shoulders of those that have gone on before them. So we're incredibly, unspeakably grateful for each and everything that that each of these guys means. So guys, thank you again for your service. We love you, we appreciate you, and I mean that with all my heart. Thanks, sir. This is the puzzle in helping to put Oak Ridge together to what it is today, just as a fire commissioner and so many other things. Guys, give them a hand one more time, and then you get to hear me. Did I get you guys? Okay. I'm just making sure, you know. As we take a moment to consider what we're recognizing today, because I know you sit back and you say, well, this is church, all right? Yeah, you're right, this is church. What does that have to do with what's taking place, what's going on with these men? You know, I have said so many times that regardless of whether or not we're a religious person, a spiritual person, or whatever, we all live our lives by a worldview of some kind. You know, as a Christian, we should live our life by a biblical worldview. In other words, the lens through which we look at everything. And that's, yeah, it should be for a Christian, it should be that lens would be the Word of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes when you look at situations like these, particularly in police and fire, sometimes it's hard for people to understand how you incorporate a biblical worldview in something like that. When you're going as a police officer and you have to arrest people, how do you initiate a biblical worldview? You know, there are ways to do that. These guys know that. Each and every day, they have to go out into a world and they face dangers. Now, whether it's police or whether it's fire, there's something that I have always said. There has to be a passion to do what you do. You have to have a care for other people, plain and simple. There's no other way to do that. That's why today we wanted to take the time to honor our heroes and to recognize the brave men and women who serve behind a badge, whether it's police, whether it's fire. These are individuals who put their lives on the line every day to protect us and to serve us, just as Jesus laid down his life for us. And as I thought about this today, the scripture that came to my heart is John chapter 15, and I'm just going to deal with one verse, because like I say, time's limited, but John chapter 15, verse 13, and it says this. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that your word would truly just hit home in our hearts and in our minds today. Lord, I pray that that we consider our worldview. Lord, we're thankful for those around us that protect us and that serve us. Lord, I am so incredibly blessed to have this opportunity to speak on your behalf any chance I get, but Lord, especially today. So Lord, I pray words that come from my mouth would be your words, and that you would speak to hearts as only you can. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about that particular point, and that's pretty big. You know, no, there's no greater love that anybody has than to lay down their life for their friends. Now, I always like how, what the Bible said. You know, matter of fact, it was actually asked when he said, you know, at one point he said, you know, you love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, one of the disciples said, well, who's our neighbor? Well, we know who that is. That's pretty much everybody. All the people that we come in contact with, those are our neighbors. And to love them in such a fashion that you would be willing to lay down your life for them. Now, if I were to come to you and you were to be honest, and I would say to you, would you be willing to lay down your life for another person? I believe the true honest answer would be, it depends on who the person is. Now, if I were to sit back and say, well, would you be willing to lay down your life for your child? Most parents, true and in their heart, would say, yes, I would. Yeah, if you say, well, how about, you know, not only your son or your daughter, but you know, your grandchildren? Oh, yeah, I would certainly do that. A spouse, certainly I would do that. How about the guy that just pulled the car over out here that you've never met before? Yeah, I don't necessarily know that I'd be willing to die for that guy, but I don't even know who he is. Isn't that kind of what the way our mindset would go? Because then we would sit back, and I've had discussions with folks before, and I said, well, let me ask you this. You know, why would there be any different thought in doing something like that than it would be for somebody that you knew and that you loved? And they sat back and said, because I know them and I love them. They're a part of who I am. And but you have to think about positions today when we come to you. We have just honored our police officers and our firefighters. You know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I told you the little story about Donnie. I guarantee you that Donnie didn't interview this guy in the middle of the pond and find out who he was. I guarantee you he didn't sit back and go, well, you know, that's not one of my family members, and I got all this weight of a uniform on me. I really don't think I want to swim out there. Besides, I'm not the best swimmer. We can wait on somebody. No, he acted immediately. See, one of the things that I've noticed that when it comes down to law enforcement and firefighters, they have an incredible quality of something that Jesus displayed, and that is what? Compassion. Compassion. Somebody's in trouble. Somebody needs help. The somebody doesn't have to be defined. So you go and you do for those other people. Now, some would say, well, that's just part of the job. No, listen, you have to care to be able to do that. What is it that makes you want to run into a firefighter, to run into a burning building to try to rescue somebody that they don't even know? To go into a place where the heat is scorching, to go into a place where you have a limited amount of air, and you're going in crawling on the floor trying your best to see because you're in total darkness, because there's a mother outside whose child is in that house, and they know it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to go. Somebody, and most of the time what happens is that you don't have to ask for a volunteer. Most of the time they're there. You know, the scene commander says, hey, this lady's just told me that there are occupants in the house, child upstairs, a far left room, right room on the hallway. They don't have to ask. Somebody is already on their way because that's their heart. That's their compassion. I still remember on the law enforcement side, watching what takes place, you know, when it comes down to something like an active shooter. And I've even mentioned this before. I was so proud of our North Carolina law enforcement officials that when they had that shooting over on at UNC Charlotte, and the students were doing what they were supposed to do to be able to get away, and the camera footage showed them, you know, running, the students running away. But you know what else it showed? It showed law enforcement officers running to where the danger was. They're not the ones that run away from it. They're the ones that run to it. They're the ones that run into the burning buildings. They're the ones that run into the bank robberies. They run into the gunfire. And they do that not because they want to be superheroes, not because they want somebody to sit back and say, hey, I got a plaque for you. They do that because of the compassion within them. We think about other areas as well, and sometimes it's tough when you think about a position where Monica's in, when she's hearing all this stuff that's going down with police and with fire, knowing there's nothing that you can do from the dispatch booth, but yet you're doing a lot because you are, what is it they say, the calm voice in the midst of the storm. Knowing that somebody is there, even if it's a voice in a little square microphone, means a lot to those guys that are out in the field. So it's compassion. Would you be willing to lay down your life for somebody that you don't even know? We read about it every day. Policemen and firefighters do exactly that. Getting home at the end of the day is a big thing because you never know. Those that responded in New York to the Twin Towers on 9/11 thought at the beginning of the day that it was going to be just another shift, and many of them never went home. Many of them left children to be raised by a single parent. They left moms and dads and sons and daughters because they were willing to lay down their life for somebody that they didn't even know. The sacrifice that policemen and firefighters make every day is a reflection of the love and selflessness that Jesus demonstrated while he was on the cross. See, they willingly put themselves in harm's way to protect and to serve their communities, just as Jesus willingly gave his life for you and I. I love that song, "He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels," and he could have. As he hung on that cross in tremendous amounts of suffering, Jesus could have said, "I'm done with y'all. I'm going to squash you guys like a bug." But he also knew that that was not the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption was that he would lay down his life, that he would take all of the sins of the world upon the cross, and on the third day, he would resurrect, conquering sin, death, and hell. Imagine a firefighter running into a burning building to save a child, or a policeman risking his life to apprehend a dangerous criminal. These are acts of bravery and selflessness, and they mirror the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Now, don't get me wrong. Today, I am not sitting back saying that policemen and firemen are Jesus. There's a big difference, and I will promise you that most policemen and firefighters would say the same thing. We're not the Lord. We're just doing what God had put in our heart, what God called us to do. Yeah, I can still remember my dad that basically was a firefighter, chaplain of his department, small department in Hinton, West Virginia for years and years and years. And even in his 80s was still basically an interior firefighter, but can remember the fire that he went to where he was the guy who went in and got a child out of a burning home. And there's a picture of him walking across the street with that child to put that child back in the arms of a loving mother. And what a blessing that was. It's not something that you just sit back and say, oh, okay. Well, it, by the way, it's not for everybody. God didn't call everybody to do those things. And that's okay. We need to be grateful for those that he called to do that. I've said different talents and abilities are incredible. I've said before, and actually in a Bible study Saturday, the fellow said, "Hey, man," he said, "you want to sing a solo?" And I'm like, no. I said, "You don't want me to sing one either." I said, because I used it to explain the fact that God's given us different talents and abilities, and I can't sing. If I sing, you leave. Somebody else sings, you'll come, okay? But yet, God called me to preach the gospel. So I'm real good at staying in my lane when it comes down to that, because that's what I've been called to do. Folks, God calls people to be firefighters, and he calls people to be police officers as well. I believe everything that you do is a calling of the Lord. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and when you find it, it's an incredible place to be, no matter what it is. He doesn't call us all to ride a fire truck or a police car. I've said before in my life, I laugh because, you know, all the things that I ever wanted to accomplish, I've accomplished. I said, that scares me, because when that happens and there's nothing else, you're done. I don't want to be done yet. So, but, you know, when I was little, I said, I wanted to be a police officer, and I was. You know, I said, yeah, I want to be a fireman, and I am. So, you know, but taking the things God's given us and the purpose that he's given us to be able to be the voice of I don't want to say the Lord, but I want to say the Lord, the voice of the Lord in the hearts and the minds of those that you have the opportunity to serve with. You know, we honor and support our police and firefighters, and let us also remember to show love and gratitude to all of those who protect and serve us. And may we pray for their safety and their well-being, and let us strive to live lives of service and sacrifice in our own communities. Also, policemen and firefighters not only lay down their lives for their friends, but they also demonstrate courage and dedication in the face of danger and adversity. Just as Jesus faced persecution and ultimately gave his life for us, our heroes in uniform face challenges and risk every day to keep us safe. If you have never looked at a structure on fire and said, hey, somebody's going in that, all of a sudden there's a strange reality, isn't it? If you've never been where the gunfire is pointed at you, all of a sudden there's a strange reality that sets in, that you don't call the police, you are the police. It is up to you to make a difference in the lives of those around you so that they also can go home. Consider a police officer who works late nights to patrol our streets, or the firefighter who responds to emergencies in the middle of the night. These individuals show unwavering dedication and courage in the face of danger, just as Jesus did during his ministry here on earth in the midst of the persecution. So as we think about this verse, and we just wanted to take one verse today because it says so much, how do we make application in our lives? I've always said that, you know what, it's not enough to have head knowledge. It needs to trickle down to your heart. What can you do from there? You know, how does this apply to you today? Well, we need to honor and support our police and firefighters by showing them love and appreciation for the service that they give us. And we also need to strive to demonstrate courage and dedication in our own lives, standing up for what is right and serving others selflessly. You know, some people are easier to serve than others, aren't they? Yeah, some people really are, because there are times, I mean, when somebody's grateful for your service, you tend to want you to be a little bit easier about service. But what about when people are not grateful for your service? What about those times when people don't want you to be there? They don't want you to be a part. I can think of scenarios where, you know, certain scenarios on the fire side where people were willing to let their own families burn up because, you know, they had a drug lab in their house and they didn't want the fire department in there, but yet their loved ones were in there and the place was on fire. I've seen times when, you know, police officers go on a scene and you're there to protect somebody in a domestic dispute, and then they turn on you. Next thing you know, you're fighting both of them and you're like, well, what just happened here? Eureka. Yeah. That we need to appreciate them. You see, the sacrifice and the service of our police and firefighters remind us of the sacrificial love that Jesus showed to each and every one of us as he hung on the cross. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, our heroes in uniform lay down their lives for our communities every single day. Think about that police officer. Think about that domestic dispute. Think about that firefighter. Think about that family that is in need because their home, everything they own, is in the process of becoming a pile of ash on their property. These individuals demonstrate love and sacrifice in their actions, just as Jesus did in his actions on the cross for each and every one of us. So let's honor, let's support our police and our firefighters. Let's show them love. Let's not be the community that's got an iPhone camera stuck in somebody's face to be critical every day about what they do. Let's show our support and say, hey, we really appreciate you being there to stand in the gap for us. Because you know what? It may not be us in need today, but it could be us in need tomorrow. And I can tell you this, when I make the call, I certainly want someone to show up. How about you? I can still remember there's something special about these guys. There's something special about what they do. I can remember in the early days as a police officer, if a help call went out, everybody dropped what they were doing, everybody went. Even if you were not on duty, because you were never really off duty, you dropped what you did and you got in the fight because that was your brother. And you were going to make sure that you were there in style. Firefighters the same way. When a mayday goes out, you begin to look for that brother. There's something special about that sort of bond that brings people together like no other. You see, the same can be held, the same can hold true for us as believers. Today, as we come, on Sundays, as we gather to worship, we do so for a common cause. We do so for the cause of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us strive to emulate their example. Let us strive to emulate Jesus' example of sacrificial love and service in our own lives, putting the needs of others in front of our own. Sometimes selfishness kicks in a big time way, doesn't it? Sometimes when we sit back and go, man, I'm not going to do that. Some of the toughest things that you'll ever be a part of, if you've been a part of it, is when the last call goes out for a policeman or a firefighter who gave up their life in the line of duty, specifically for somebody who didn't even appreciate what they did, because that's what they were called to do. And even though they didn't appreciate it, they're still alive today because of what that officer or that firefighter did for them. It's a sad day when you have to bury your own, but we all understand the risk each and every day that we report to duty. So as we reflect on the sacrifice and the service of our policemen and firefighters, let us remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let us honor and support our heroes in uniform, and let us strive to live lives of love, sacrifice, and service within our communities. May God bless each and every one of those who serve in police and fire. And the thing about it is, a little appreciation goes a long, long way. Let's be sure that we tell them thank you for what you do. If you've ever needed them, if they've ever rolled up on your house and pulled and charged a line to make sure your house didn't burn down, you understand. If you've ever been there in the midst of a situation and a police officer has rolled up and essentially stood in the gap between you and the bad guy, then you understand. Most of the time, we won't understand until we get into that particular place. And for them, it's just another day. How many times has there ever been the situation where where you've heard, well, you know, this guy is a hero, and they say, nope, that. It was just another day. It was just my duty. It was where I happened to be. I was on shift at the time that this took place. And I can tell you right now, there's something special. And that's the way they really feel. They don't do it to be recognized. They do it because that's what their heart is. Because I will promise you this, if your heart's not in it and the Lord hadn't put it in you, you won't be there long. You won't run into a burning. You're sitting there going, man, that place is on fire. We shouldn't be going in that place. No, well, guess what? There's a baby in a crib upstairs down the hall. All of a sudden, things change. And you put your life on the line. Because somebody has got to get that baby. And perhaps the Lord has placed you where you are for such a time as this. Yeah, I've said this many, many times. God never meant for me to be a police officer, but he used it in my life for a season to teach me a lot of things that I didn't know, to teach me about people, to make me what I am today. It was all part of his building blocks. Do I regret it? No. Not a single bit, but it was part of my journey. Today, I'm not interested in running into burning buildings, but I am interested in the spiritual aspect of the lives of the guys of Station 3 Station 35, and Station 42. To be able to be there when they need a shoulder. To be able to be the spiritual voice for them along the way. And you know what? So far, that's been a pretty fun task. Because God's let me take some of the coolest things, my favorite things in life, and mix them together for His honor and for His glory. And you know, it makes a difference when somebody else looks at you and somebody looks at a Rick or a Donnie or a Blake and says, I know what you're going through because I've been there. And you know they do because I've been behind the badge of both police as well as fire. To be able to say, guys, listen, I understand. I see your heart's breaking. And to do everyday life with them and to be an example of Jesus in their life. I have had a pretty cool life, orchestrated by the Father. And He's let me do some pretty cool things. Just enough to say, okay, this is not what I called you for. Now let's let these other guys that I've called to do this handle it. But I wouldn't trade where I am for anything in the world because it was part of the journey. Listen, where are you? No greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. If we're honest with each other, we're like, you know, I don't know if I could quite do that outside of my family. You got people here who do it every day of their life. And we thank God for them. Let's make sure that they always know that we will pray for them, we will support them, and we will be by their side no matter what. Plain and simple. So I ask you this question. Brad, you guys come on up. We're about to have our time of invitation. You know what? Sometimes people sit back. Most often, when I've had a chance to talk with somebody, one of the real things that got their attention that caused them to become a Christian was understanding and realizing what Jesus did for them personally. And I know we sit back and say, well, there's been a whole lot of people in this world, you know, since the time of Jesus and all the way up through to now. But listen, if you were the only person that was alive and on the planet at the time, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary. He still would have suffered. He still would have laid down his life. He still would have picked it up just for you. Now, does that ring a little different bell for you? He did it for me. He did it for you. How many other people are willing to give up their life that you might continue to go forward? Jesus did that we might have eternal life, that our sins might be forgiven. Have you trusted Jesus? I'm not asking if you've played religion. I'm not asking any of that. I'm not asking how much you go to church. I'm not asking it. I'm asking you if you know Jesus. It's a relationship. Do you spend time with Him? Yeah. Do you have those moments? Yeah. Do you pray? Do you communicate with Him? Or do you look at Him as a genie in a magic lamp? Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need something. Nope. It's an everyday thing. Man, I know people probably think I'm weird. I'll drive down the road praying out loud. Not with my eyes closed. I'll be sitting back and going, Lord, you know what? It's a pretty day. Thank you for a pretty day. Do you do that? Have you sat back and said, Lord, you know what? Yeah, yesterday was rough, but today brings new hope. Help me, Lord. Yeah, Lord, I got to work with a bunch of idiots. Help me today to have peace. I mean, hey, let's be honest. That's what you think, isn't it? Lord knows your heart. Sometimes you got to be, Lord, you're going to have to help me tame my tongue today. You're going to have to put me in a spiritual straitjacket because I'm about ready to tell a whole bunch of people what I think about. And the Lord's going, come on now. You know better than that. He's like, we got this. We got it. Have you trusted Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? I'm not asking how good you are, how spiritual you are, how much you do for the church. I'm not even asking you how much you do for other people. I'm asking you if you know Jesus. Because there's no other way given among men that you can be saved other than Jesus. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. I don't care what people in this world say. There's no other way to get into the presence of the Father than through Jesus the Son. Period. Period. So now evaluate your salvation. Is it real? Has there been the time when you have confessed, Lord, I am a sinner. Because of my sins, what I deserve is death and hell. But thank you for what you did on Calvary. Your shed blood on Calvary's cross covered all the sins, past, present, and future. But you come to us today and you say, I am reaching out to you. I am offering you the gift of salvation. What's special about a gift? If somebody offers it, you have to receive it. And Jesus says, here is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Son. Have you taken it? Is it a relationship? That doesn't mean that we don't mess up. We all can do better. Amen? Amen. But we're learning. We're trying. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? If you don't, then the handshake, the introduction, through prayer, you can simply say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve death and hell. But thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death and resurrection for me. Today, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to save my soul. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, that's like I said, that's a handshake. Those are words. If you prayed that prayer, you truly meant it. Jesus says, okay, you're my child. Now you need to live like you're part of my family. You need to represent me well. That's our spiritual walk. And by the way, it's not up to me, your Sunday school teachers, or anybody else to tell you how to live your life. Let me tell you who tells you how to live your life. God's Word and the Holy Spirit. If you need to dress differently, then that's up to the Holy Spirit to tell you, because I'm not. If you need to do things differently, that's up to the Holy Spirit to tell you, because I'm not the compass in your life. But here's the thing. Some of us need to be listening to what Jesus is telling us, because it's in his word. So how many of us are going to continue to ignore? Remember last week we talked about Belshazzar, remember? The handwriting on the wall. Some of you, the Lord's going, I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you. Now. Remember what happened? The dream was interpreted, and Belshazzar that night was done. God is patient, God is kind, God is long-suffering, but God's patience, kindness, and long-suffering will eventually wear out. Where do you stand? Listen, if you need Jesus or you accepted him, in just a moment, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. We invite you. Listen, I'd love to pray with you. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you, man. It's a great time. I tell you, man, we'll be shouting and dancing. Somebody might even mistake us for being charismatic. You never know. And if you did trust Jesus, we want to help you on the journey of knowing the Savior. Listen, it's not boring. It's not doldrums if you do it correctly. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. You will look forward to it. All I'm saying is this. If that's the way you feel, give us a chance. That's all I'm asking. You give me 4 weeks, and I guarantee you it'll change your life. I dare you. People like dares. Was it a Christmas story? A triple dog dare you? Give us a shot and watch what the Lord can do. If you've trusted him, please let us know. We just want to celebrate. Maybe you're here today, you just need to spend a little time at the altar going, Lord, you know what? I have jacked this whole thing up. And he goes, I know. And you're like, can you fix it? And he's like, yes, but I can only fix it if you give it to me. And leave it alone. I tell you, you want to frustrate a preacher quicker than anything? You keep picking up sins that you have taken to God and confessed and carrying them back with guilt. You're going to make a preacher angry. You're making God angry too, because he's like, what are you doing? And you better forgive yourself. If God's forgiven you and you're having trouble forgiving you, you've heard me say this, that is the height of arrogance. People are like, well, you call me arrogant. Yeah, I'm calling you arrogant. Why? Because if you say that you know God forgives sins and you've taken it to him, you've repented, you have confessed of that sin, and you say God's forgiven you, but you can't forgive yourself, you're saying you have a higher standard than God himself. Quit letting Satan drag you down over sin God's already forgiven you of. Period. It's time to move on to victory. So what is it that God said to you today? He has said something to you today. Don't know what it might be. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's to draw you close. Maybe it's to pinpoint some things in your life. But his word does not return void. Maybe he's challenged you where you are in your life. What decision do you need to make? If you need me, I'm here. The altar is here. You do it as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 320. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Do with what God has dealt with you in your heart about. Don't leave this place without doing so. Don't let Satan win. What has he told you? What do you need to do? You do it. Our ushers, if they would make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to gather in your house today. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, may you give us wisdom to be good stewards of everything that you have given to us. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. I do want to take just a moment. Donnie and Sherry, come on down. Donnie and Sherry, they come to us today requesting membership in Central Baptist Church. You've seen them around. What a wonderful couple. And like I say, if you've met Donnie, you know how to pray for Sherry. So that's we always say that. Both of them have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They have both followed in believer's baptism by immersion. They are coming to us today to request a membership by letter of transfer. Do I hear a motion that they be received? Do I hear a second? All those who rejoice in their coming signify by saying a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any opposed? Hey, that's a unanimous decision, you guys. Thank you so much. We look forward to having that opportunity to serve together, and we're gonna give an opportunity for you to greet them on the way out the door. Judy, my little energizer bunny, come on up here for just a minute. I love her to death, and if you've ever met Judy, you feel welcome. Satan could feel welcome walking in here with Judy. Would you do me a favor? Would you walk them back to the door so folks will have an opportunity to greet them on the way out? And we look forward to having you guys as part of our fellowship with Central Baptist Church, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about what we got going on. Judy will take y'all back to the door. Be sure to greet Donnie and Sherry on your way out, and we'll look forward to what the Lord has in store in our service together in the future. Now, I have the papers right here. Somebody, I'll get them to whoever needs to get them. Just a couple things. We don't show any birthdays or anniversaries today. Today's events, I do have my D group, which is going to be at 3:30 in FLC 116, choir practice, 4:45. The Awana Awards night is at 5:30 over in the gym. And normally what's happened is when the awards night, this is our final night of Awana, normally the adults will come over there and be with us over in the gym to see the kids get their awards. Sunday night Bible study, do you want them to come over there? Or are you going to? Okay. All right. So now listen, guys, if you usually go to David's Bible study, that's at 6 o'clock. The awards are at 5:30. So that's a half an hour earlier. That means you'll get to eat dinner a half an hour earlier. So come on over and join us as we have our final awards night for the Awana ceremony, 5:30 over in the gym. Wind ensemble practice, 7 o'clock, or right after we get done with the awards. Of course, on Monday, Steve and Mari actually have their D-Life group. Steve's at 6 o'clock here at the church. Mari's at their home at 6:30. It's a half-hour time difference between them. Ladies' Connection, 4 o'clock in FLC 116 this coming Wednesday. That's when your meeting is, this coming Wednesday. Ladies' Connection, 4 p.m. In 116. Things that we've got coming up in the future, just as a reminder, we do have the baby bottles sitting out there in the narthex. If you're going out the door, look to the left right there. They're sitting in a box. The baby bottle campaign is what we normally do between Mother's Day and Father's Day. You put your loose change in that. That goes to pay for ultrasounds for young ladies who are considering abortion. And it's way up in the 90 percentiles of those who actually see that child by ultrasound. Do not abort that baby. So this is what you're helping with. Grab a baby bottle. We'll collect those on Father's Day. If you want to bring them in early, you can, but we'll be collecting them starting on Father's Day and afterwards, but you can pick one up on your way out. May the 6th, 4 o'clock p.m. In FLC 116 will be the Ladies' Connection, which I mentioned just a moment ago. May the 10th, next Sunday, is Mother's Day. We are going to have an appreciation breakfast that's going to start around 9:30, which is Sunday school time. It'll be just like it was during Easter. It'll be set up in the hallways there. But now, we want to encourage you to grab you a biscuit and then go and sit in one of those little rooms. You know why? Because those little rooms are called Sunday school. So, you can grab you a biscuit and a cup of coffee, and let's just pack out the Sunday school classes there. So you guys will welcome them, won't you? You guys will welcome them into the classes. So, yeah, you can grab a biscuit. You can sit there in Sunday school and enjoy one another's company. But we want to do that. The two D groups, my D group, Steve's D group, wanted to provide a little something for you guys to say thank you to our moms with a little appreciation breakfast next Sunday starting around 9:30, okay? May the 12th. Let's see. That's a bi-monthly blood drive. That's on a Tuesday. That's from 2:30 to 6:45. On the 13th, ladies are going to be having your breakfast at Cagney's at 9. Then on the 17th, and then I'm going to shut her down after this, the 17th is homecoming. So that is essentially 2 weeks from today. You won't want to miss that. Gary and the boys will be here to do some picking along the way. They're going to do some songs here in the service, and then they're also going to play and pick some during our lunch over there. So you won't want to miss that. Gary's a pretty accomplished banjo player and the guys, so we're looking forward to doing that. That's going to be on homecoming. You'll want to be here with us for that. One final thing before David comes to see us off in a word of prayer. As always, they say behind every good man stands an even better woman. Those that we have recognized today in light of police and fire, this would not been able. They would not have been able to have had the careers they had without their wives at home that supported them, without those that that had to handle the birthdays because their husbands or wives were working, handle the holidays because their husbands and wives were working. Police and fire don't get holidays off. Somebody's got to work. So birthdays. There's a lot of sacrifices that were made by the wives of our firefighters and our police officers as we consider them today. We'll probably do a little bit more about that in the future, but I do, as David makes his way up here, would you give the wives of our police and firefighters a hand for the sacrifices that they made for their husbands?
Let me lead you as we pray. Father, we're so thankful for the men and women who give their lives, police officers, firemen, military, all those who are give their lives to protect our safety. And Lord, we realize that it's a calling just like we have in the ministry. And we thank you and praise you for those who have done it and who will do it in the future. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them, bless their families, keep them safe, and watch over and protect them. Lord, help us to express our gratitude to them as they serve you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.